following program is pre-recorded. Welcome to Hope in the Night, late-night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, as this is National Bullying Awareness Month, we're talking about that very topic, and you had said previously that there are three who are involved, three types of people who are involved in a situation of bullying, that there's the bully and the bullied, and we understand that, and then there's a third that we may not think of called the bystander. And you said that the bystander has really kind of the most power in that situation. What is a bystander to do?
Well, understand, the bully feels justified in doing whatever is powerful against this one that is targeted. It's not just a one-time act. It's targeting someone, and then it's going to be over and over and over. And now, typically, the one being bullied feels powerless. And they could either, you know, run away or have tears. Well, then the bully feels, I've won, you know, that I feel powerful, because their objective is to feel significant. So the bystander, I'm going to make you the bully, okay, for the moment.
Okay.
You're the big bad bully. Okay. Now you're bullying. Here's this guy that's, you know, half your size. You're a tall guy, mm-hmm. by the way. Y'all don't see him, but he's tall.
Doesn't sound like that on radio.
Well, it does kind of sound that way. And yet, you know, there are those who, there are different reasons why they are chosen. By the way, bullies look for people they can bully. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's what gives them a sense of significance. So it would be all of a sudden, if I were to come and say, stop it, this is my friend, or stop it, if you don't stop, I will report it. Now, they're not expecting somebody from the outside to do this.
No.
So the key is this. You refuse to participate in the bullying, and this is what many do, because they don't want a bully to turn against them, so they can start doing some of the same things, which is absolutely wrong. And so you just, you know, you say to yourself, I will risk the scorn and assault, even of my peers, to do what I know is right. I will come alongside anyone I see bullied. I will lean on God for courage, wisdom, strength, when confronted in any bullying situation. And I recognize I don't have to be controlled by a bully's anger or intimidation. By the way, interestingly, in Galatians 4, we read, those people are zealous to win you over, but for no good. See, a bully wants to win the other people over. What they want is to alienate you from us so that you may have zeal for them. Anyway, that's Galatians 4:17. Now, what do you do if you're the bystander? You remember that one day you will have to give an account to God for your actions or your inaction. So, it's, I will treat others as I want to be treated. That's the do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I will confess to God my fear of bullies and my past failure to defend the bullied, if that's the case. I'll talk through any conflicted feelings I have about intervening on behalf of the bullied. And I will understand that God intends me to be his ambassador of hope and peace in a situation where bullying is taking place. And then you just resolve. You will take action when you see someone being bullied. I'll remember that kindness is more valuable than personal popularity. I'll stand up and speak up. I'll report any bullying. This is important. I will report any bullying I see to a trusted adult. And I will believe that Christ's power in me, if you have Christ in you, realize his power in you, in me, can give me wisdom to bring calm and help me overcome a bully's control. It's interesting that Proverbs 29 says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. So pray that you will be wise, but you stand by the one being bullied, and you confront and you literally say, stop it with strength. And we have some suggested wording. You don't use a lot of words, but you need to know that there is a way to deal with this. And I suggest every parent help their kids to learn how to stand up in behalf of those being bullied, because they can make a huge difference in the long run. Our material will help you learn how to do that.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and we'll never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. We are a ministry of Hope for the Heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. We exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We just say thank you for that. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of bullying, you can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the appropriate resources. We have the Keys for Living Tonight called Bullying, Bullied No More. And again, that number is 800-488-4673. If you prefer to email, you may do so at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Ask any questions you have regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. And that email again is customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. We ask you to help us mark this 26th year of Hope in the Night by making a gift to our late night radio ministry. Just go to hopefortheheart.org and find the donate button there, or you can text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. And we say thank you in advance. Let's get to our caller tonight with Angela.
Well, hello, Angela. Welcome to Hope.
Thank you, Miss June. Thank you for taking my call. God bless you.
Well, thank you. How can we help you?
I almost don't know where to start, but I'll start.
That's okay. There's a song, Follow the Yellow Brick Road in the Wizard of Oz. So just start at the beginning.
All right, my love. Here we go. I graduated high school in 1971. So that's 50 years ago. But this person that I'm talking about, I've known for 52 years.
Mm-hmm.
We ran into each other at a high school reunion in 2016 and dated for a very brief time in the middle of June of 2016. And then we had a few dates in July, and then he disappeared from sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really liked this guy a lot.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I guess I was infatuated.
Okay.
P.S., at the time that we ran into each other in 2016, I had been divorced. At that time, I would say I was divorced at least 5 years. I was had been married for 36 years. And
wow.
I'm the mother of 7 grown children.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You're busy.
Yeah. Well, they're all...
I know. I understand.
Ranging from 44 to... and my youngest is 27.
Wow. Okay.
So, and those first 6 are 2 years apart, so it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it, I made it, and God helped me all the way. I can always say that the good Lord put good people around me all my life.
Good. Wonderful.
Yes. Good Christian people always surrounded me. So even in the times that were rough, I always felt that I was being helped. But anyway, getting back to this situation, this past, I think it was around April, thereabouts, my brother was on Facebook, and this fellow from high school was on Facebook, and he said, by the way, are you related to Angela so-and-so? Because there can't be too many people with this last name, you know? And so anyway, my brother said, yes, Angela's my sister, and this and that. So he said, do you think you could give me her phone number? I'd like to talk to her. Now, I think everybody that knew me at that time knew of my situation, but back then, and that I was very brokenhearted. So my brother did ask me first, can I give your number out?
Mm-hmm.
And my initial idea was, oh, gosh, I don't know, really. But then my good Christian sense kicked in, because I remember this particular person had a mom who was very up in years. And since I have a license in health care, I thought to myself, I better not think that I'm not going to talk to this party. Let me be nice, because he just might need my help in regards to his mom.
Good.
You know, because
yes,
I remember
understand.
Him having, you know, that he was caring for her back in 2016. And I thought, well, oh, gee, maybe he needs my assistance in some capacity.
That's logical.
So anyway, we talked and everything, and he told me right away that his mom had passed away that earlier in the winter, and that she was no. And I told him, "Oh, I'm very sorry." And I said, "So okay, so what? What's going on?" And And why are you calling me? You had no use for me. You had even blocked me from your phone.
Oh, dear.
So he said, well, you know, I'm going to a new church. I don't belong to the church that I belong to. You know, he was born and raised and did all sacraments, et cetera, et cetera. And he said, I'm in a Baptist church now, and I'm about ready to take the next step and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I said, well, that's just really nice. God bless you. That's wonderful. And then the next thing was that he said, I remember that I didn't treat you right, and that I basically just shut you down, and I'd like to take have another chance because you're a very nice woman, and I would really like to get to know you. So I said to myself, woohoo! No, not really. I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I don't look the same way as I did 5 years ago. I gained a little weight here and there. My hair got thinner. You know, I've got more wrinkles on my face. And I'm thinking...
So does he, by the way. He has more wrinkles on his face.
Oh, well, that was the surprise of surprises.
Oh, was it?
Fast forward, he wouldn't... You know, I kept making excuses for... He'd call me, let's have coffee, this and that, and I just kept skirting around the issue and finding all excuses not to really connect with him even over a cup of coffee because I was really scared of my appearance. You know, we all look different than we did 5 years ago. So that was, you know, and I wasn't even thinking that he may have gained weight or what have you. It was just, I was just thinking, not looking right. So, fast forward all these months, April, May, and I'm putting them off and putting them off. And then I'm saying to myself, this guy's not going to go away. I don't know what to do. And I would say, oh, we'll go out, you know, and there's COVID going on, and a lot of restaurants aren't really open anymore, and there aren't really any places for people to go on a date. Because there's the restriction that after 10, you have to call it a night. And, you know, and usually people stay out till past 10 p.m. So anything that I made to go out to dinner, like at 5 or 6 and in the evening, when the date would get close to a date that I would make, and I would just get cold feet and say, something came up and I can't go. So I was just so scared. Anyway, now we're in November, and something told me, why don't you invite him for dinner? He sounds like he really needs a human touch and some attention, and he's not going to go, and he's not going away, Linda.
Okay.
Angela, so you know, why don't you invite him to dinner? So I did, and he came with flowers and pastry and everything to make a meal. He said, "Don't touch any. I'm going to make dinner for you."
So oh my goodness!
He brought all the fixings for a beautiful steak dinner.
And, oh my goodness! Gracious!
And salad, yeah, flowers and everything. And my neighbor was standing outside on that particular November night, and I always used to say, "Oh, gee, you know, ever notice like in the movies the guy shows up?" And he's got flowers and candy. I never had a guy do that for me. So I remember looking at her and saying, "Burn! He brought flowers. He's got flowers." And we were beaming from ear to ear. He knew what to do. So anyway,
this sounds like a Hallmark movie. I don't know.
I couldn't believe it. And he cooked, and all I had to do was set the table. It was unreal. And he even brought CDs, and we were dancing in the kitchen. It was crazy. I said to myself, this fellow's not going to go away. I'm in trouble. So, and now it's Thanksgiving's approaching, and so I'm thinking to myself, oh gosh, what am I going to do? And it's too soon to, because the, you know, the time that we had that dinner date at my place, a week later, it was a week or two later was Thanksgiving,
uh-huh.
And it would have been too premature to have someone like that. Well, I don't mean mm-hmm. like that, but
just somebody new who wasn't a part of the family.
A new gentleman, yeah. And I mm-hmm. knew I never was with a gentleman. I mean, mm-hmm. all this time I was, you know, by myself. I mean, really, mm-hmm. and so I mm-hmm. never had a gentleman caller. For lack of better words. And so
yes.
I said, that won't work for Thanksgiving. So he said, oh, no worries. I usually go by my friend. You remember Jimmy from high school. We were all on the football team. I said, yes. He goes, he's like a brother to me. I'm going there mm. for Thanksgiving. No worries. No mm-hmm. worries. Don't worry. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I'll be fine for Thanksgiving. Because, P.S., this fellow... wife number one had passed away. She had mm-hmm. kidney disease, and mm-hmm. their marriage was about 20 years or so, more mm-hmm. or less. And then he yeah. had a second wife, and but he's still kind of attached to the second wife because they don't have they just have like a separation and not actually divorced. I'm genuinely divorced, but from what he tells me, him and wife number two are really still connected in that she does not live under the same roof.
Okay, and so you're talking about the guy who has been who brought the flowers to you.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay, so he's not.
Gets a little, this is where it gets a little murky.
Yes, it is murky. Okay, so he's not legally divorced. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and that kind
okay.
of sort of really bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, and have you talked about it? Have you talked about the situation?
We do, and he does explain it, but I'm not really good with it.
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not
okay.
really that.
Okay. Well, you know, the interesting thing about one thing that he did do, he said he was wrong in the way he basically just cut the relationship off with
yeah.
you in 2016. Now, my question is going to be, was he married at that time still to this wife that you're talking about? And let's understand... Because I do hear that he did something inappropriate, in other words, he didn't even let you know anything. So it's appropriate that he did apologize. We'll come back.
In these unprecedented times, millions are suffering with more stress, anxiety, loneliness, and depression. In the still of the night, when things slow down, these feelings can be the strongest. This is when June Hunt shares God's truth through this late-night radio ministry, Hope in the Night. She helps people find answers and critical next steps for their struggles. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late-night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places, and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about tonight's topic or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living to address your situation. Call our customer support team at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the resources that you need. We have keys for living called Dating, Great Relating When Dating. And again, customer support is available at 800-488-4673. We encourage you to check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. There you'll find new updated keys for living with a variety of topics such as stress, anxiety, fear, abuse, marriage, parenting, and more. And over 30 topics in the new store, more being added monthly. So go there and check that out. Also, you'll find the new Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's biblical resources. It's all at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's return to our conversation now with Angela.
Well, my friend, what I'm hearing you say is, yes, you knew this man when you were much younger, when you graduated. Y'all were in the same school, I gather. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then years passed, and basically, it's more like in 2016, there was an interaction with him, and obviously, you knew he had been married, correct?
At 2016, he mentioned that he got married, that he mentioned that his first wife passed away, in an untimely fashion. She was very ill, and she had passed away. And he said he did mention that he remarried in 2000, how did he put it? He said she walked up to him one day. This is where it gets sketchy. In 2011, and said that she did not want to be married anymore. So I didn't really know anything more than that back at that point in time of 2016.
So he was married, his wife died, and then in the year 2000, he remarried. He's saying, and so he told you in 2016 that then she announced that she did not want to be married. So that's that's what you heard, correct?
That's what I heard. And I remember saying to him, gosh, you had just lost your wife 3 years previous. I think you should have gave yourself time to heal. To me, 3 years doesn't seem like such a long time. But he said, well, I was lonely. And I remember saying, again, I repeat it, you should have given yourself more time to heal. I think you went down that aisle too quick. I remember saying that back in 2016. Yeah.
So what you're saying, basically, his wife died in like 1997-ish.
Yes.
And then he remarried in 2000. And then he announced to you that, but his wife had said that she did not want to be married anymore. Is that
right,
what you said?
Right, and I'm scratching my head. I'm thinking to myself, how does that really go? all I know is that what I did in my capacity and with my situation, I just went for an outright divorce, and that was the end of it. All this time, like, how does that, thinking to myself, this sounds a little fishy and murky.
Did you happen to ask?
And now, did, I'm, did, And now, fast forward to 2021, and mm-hmm. I feel like I'm in too deep because he had said to me when he came up here with the flowers and cooking the dinner back in November, she's moving out right after Thanksgiving. Anna. Anna's moving out right after Thanksgiving. She's all packed, and she'll no longer. And I said, "Well, wait a minute. You said she approached you in 2011. She's still there. She's still there. Yeah. She's still there. She sleeps in the bedroom, and I sleep out on the couch." So, and I'm like, and he sees me looking puzzled, and he says, she wouldn't have stayed as long as she did. I'm the one that insisted that she stayed all this time from 2011 up to now, which is 2020. I'm still thinking and reflecting to myself, this seems really screwy. I don't get it.
Well, the problem is this. If you look at what is marriage, I think the reason it's challenging is marriage is not just getting a certificate from a justice of the peace or some license. The intent of marriage is a covenant commitment.
Oh, yes.
A covenant commitment means a covenant is a solemn binding agreement between, in this case, if it's a marriage covenant, between a man and a woman who are legally and spiritually joined together as husband and wife. Now, that's the intention. And that's why in Matthew 19, verse 6, Jesus said, they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no one separate. And that's when there is a covenant, a solemn binding agreement of commitment. Now, it sounded to me like you had been wounded. What was the situation with your husband? You said you had been married 36 years, and yet I heard there was a lot of pain afterwards. What occurred there? I know you said you divorced. And you'd been divorced, I think you said, since 2011, is that right?
Yes, it was 2011. I got my divorce in November of 2011.
Okay. And so what happened between the you and...
Very abusive. Very abusive, and he was chemically addicted. It was a nightmare. Mm-hmm. It was a nightmare marriage, and... To me, I was like a single parent from day one because everything got pushed to me. All the responsibility, the raising of the children, whether they had clothes for school and whether they were ate and fed and school uniforms, the whole bit. I worked three jobs. Mm. And when I would go to the spouse and say, you have to help me out here, I was accused of being a complainer. He said, "You complaining." So I used to say to myself, "Angela, zip it up. Do exactly what you have to do. You know, to take care of them the best you can." I worked three jobs. I worked as a substitute teacher in the parochial school system, so I was on call. At night, I worked in supermarkets, and I usually worked in the hot foods or seafood or deli department, and then on his side I sold cosmetics. I worked very hard for the, and I would do it all again. I loved the fact that I was able to have a family, and you know. So what happened to me with the marriage? You know, it's all right. You know, it to me, I got what I wanted, which was a family, a big family, and at least I was able to have a family and seven healthy children, five daughters, two sons, and I would do it all again. And you know, it didn't come wrapped and packaged and with a big bow the way you would think, and I just did the best that I could, and I feel like if it, you know, the hardships that just formed my character and
character.
Gave me
right.
more integrity, and I learned how to walk extremely close to our blessed Lord. So it was to me, it was all good, and it brought me to where I am now.
Yes, and so then what you experienced then 5 years after your divorce, and this man comes on the scene, and I know you were.
I was smitten.
Yeah, but okay, and yet it seems as though, even though yes, he had been a widower, likewise he had remarried, and you heard at that time that she didn't want to be married anymore.
That's all.
Did he say why?
No, that's all I heard.
Did you ask why?
No, no, I didn't. I didn't ask. I was. I was in a trance.
Okay. And so then, now you find out later that even though she didn't want to be married anymore, they still are married. And technically, they still are right now married, aren't they?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
And I'm just realizing it these last couple of days. And I'm just realizing that he has a really bad temper. And I say to him, listen, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to line your will up with the will of God, because it doesn't look like it's lined up to me. You've got a terrible temper, and I've never known you to be like this. In high school, you were so calming and nice and a sweetie pie with everybody. What happened to you?
Well, the sweetie pie is kind of deceptive. He's kind of left out some major holes in his story, such as I'm still married. Yeah. Okay. So, by the way, you are delightful. I think you really are. I'm enjoying talking with you, but I'm also concerned because we can at times be infatuated. We can see something. We see the potential, and we think, isn't this nice? But there are major stories, you know, it's all the way from if you say you're a pilot and you're flying this airplane and, you know, come fly the airplane, come be in the airplane with me. And then you find out, wait a minute, he doesn't even have a pilot's license. You know, from a legal standpoint, he shouldn't be flying. Well, in this case, there's something bigger than that, more important, and that is the covenant of marriage. Now, whatever the reason is that he is not, if supposedly this woman was supposed to be out, she's moving out after Thanksgiving. The problem is he was deceptive with you. And do you want to be married to somebody in the future who is a deceiver?
No.
No. That's wise. So there's got to be, you can't look the other way.
No.
Because I don't think you could do that. It sounds to me like.
No, it's so practical.
Yeah, I can hear that. And you, if you're going to be biblical, you don't want to go against God's word.
That's it.
Because technically, guess what? Yeah, if you would be having kind of sexual relationship with him, the two of you are committing adultery.
For bringing hope in the darkest hours, we're celebrating June Hunt and 26 years of Hope in the Night. June will tell you that a radio program was nowhere on her radar, but God had a different plan. On the first broadcast of Hope in the Night, June talked with people about fear, alcohol abuse, anger, and will never forget the woman facing an unplanned pregnancy. Help us mark this 26th year by making a $26 gift or even a $260 gift to our late night radio ministry. It would be a special blessing if you would make your gift a monthly gift. Just go to hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546. That's hopefortheheart.org or text the keyword HOPE to 855-909-1546.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
Welcome back. I'm Jeff Oliver, and you're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of Hope for the Heart, and we want to thank you for your prayers and support of this ministry. Our customer support team can be reached at 800-488-HOPE. They're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they'll help guide you to God's hope through our resources. Tonight we have Keys for Living called Dating, Great Relating When Dating. And their number again at customer support is 800-488-4673. Now, if there's something going on in your life and you'd like to speak with June Hunt about that situation and to do that on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, call us at 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-NIGHT-17. Just call, leave a detailed message so we can get back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That number again, 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Let's return to our conversation with Angela.
Well, my friend, what we have at our ministry, we have basically over 100 topics to help people with real life issues. Like we have considering marriage, we have dating, considering marriage, we have divorce, we have dysfunctional families, all kinds of things like that. I mean, as well as anger. You mentioned in this case, this man had a terrible temper. Well, now, he presented himself in a wonderful way with the flowers, and he fixes dinner for you, a steak dinner. That's very impressive. But it just so happened that what's not impressive is that he was deceitful. And God knows the truth. You can think, you know, well, yeah, I didn't think to ask, you know, well, why didn't she want to be married to him? You know, it can be very insightful, and that would be a legitimate question to ask. And regardless of his answer, many times answers are slanted. They may not tell the whole truth. The issue is, right now, he is not a candidate because he's married. Now, why would he not tell you the truth? Well, you'd say, well, because he maybe would be afraid then you would reject him. But, you know, there are reasons. I mean, okay, if he were to be the one for you, I mean, with his wife, his first wife dying, that is a reason for remarriage. And the Bible is clear about that. I think you can try to rewrite history and make the scenario something that would be fantasy land. But fantasy land is at Disney World or Disneyland. And you're not trying to live in fantasy land.
No. And tonight we, not to interrupt you, Miss June, but this evening we were talking for at least 3 hours, and a light bulb went off in my head because he was doing a lot of yelling and screaming, and I just kept saying, "Joe, calm down. Joe, calm down. Your behavior isn't lined up with the will of God. You need to stop being so angry." And then all of a sudden I said, "Now I know why Anna left. Now I know why Anna approached you after 11 years and why she finally moved out. You've got a bad temper." But P.S., more than that, I was over his house a few days ago, because actually last week was his birthday, so now we're the same age. Doesn't matter. But anyway, I noticed a lot of little plastic trays, at least two plastic trays with holding prescription bottles. Okay. And I always thought it was odd with wife number two, Anna, why didn't you bring children into this marriage? And because he was telling me it was all that, it was so pompous and this and that, and they danced to the Our Father by Andre Bocelli for their first dance, all the formality, and marriage is a covenant. I'm thinking what you had said really have repeated a few times. Yes, I know that's right. I know it upside down and inside out. And then, but getting back to the what I seen there in the kitchen, these two trays. She's Anna's a professional, and she's a board certified MD. And almost every bottle that was in that tray, I'm a little nosy. Uh-huh. Almost every bottle in those two trays had her name on it. If you know what I'm saying. Yeah. So I'm saying to myself, these two are very codependent on each other. Even though she's not here anymore, what are all these pill bottles about? Different types of medication. And they're prescribed by her? This is nuts, I'm thinking to myself, if you know what I'm saying.
So do you think that some certain kinds of drugs that prescription drugs.
I noticed one of them, Oxycontin. Isn't that heroin?
Yeah. Well, that's a very serious drug. Yeah.
And her name is on the addictive. On the bottle. I'm like, what?
Okay.
So tonight with the in the course of this 2-3 hour conversation we had, all the yelling and screaming, I said, "Oh, now I know why Anna left. Now I know why Anna said she didn't want to be married anymore to you. You do a lot of yelling and screaming and hollering, and that's she's a professional. Who could stand that? I know I couldn't."
I think the Lord is exposing you to behind the curtain.
Right.
You don't want negative surprises.
Right.
I mean, no one wants to be deceived.
Mm-mm.
And I think what I would do, why don't you tell me right now, if you were going to do non-negotiable characteristics, to list non-negotiable characteristics, what would they be for if you were to remarry? What would be the non-negotiable? In other words, these are the musts that I must have in a marriage partner if I were ever to remarry. I've got my pen right here, so I'm going to write. What would you say are the non-negotiables that this person must be this way?
You must be very honest.
Honest, okay. That's huge.
Extremely honest.
Okay.
In depth. Tell the whole thing. I'm that type of person. I tell you everything.
Mm-hmm.
Very honest, very sincere. That's the word, sincere. Honest,
sincere.
Loyal.
Okay. Oh, that's huge.
Trustworthy.
Oh, trustworthy. Wow.
Kind.
Kind.
No
okay.
temper.
Okay.
If you think you're going to have a temper, go outside and count to 10.
Okay. So no anger out of control.
No, and a prayerful man.
Oh, good.
Bring it all to Jesus.
Yes.
That's really huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, somebody who's really grounded, you know, really connected to our blessed Lord. Because mm-hmm. what have we got? That's the best we've got. We belong
mm-hmm.
to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
So, a good family person, right, loves family and likes to get together. And that's something that came up earlier in our conversation this evening. He says, I never wanted a family. And he's mm-hmm. saying a lot of negative things. And I'm saying, wow, mm-hmm. it sounds like you really wish you had a family, but then on the other hand, you're happy that you never had a family. I said, and I remember saying, you don't make too much sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand why I said, you know, that's huge for me. I said, if I wasn't able to have children, I would. Make sure that there was a way that I could adopt or take mm-hmm. a child in somehow, mm-hmm. some way to give my motherly love to a child.
Mm-hmm. Okay, about 9 points right now. Any more that you think are just non-negotiable? Absolutely essential?
A good conversationalist, loves the Lord, have good Christian friends, good family person, a good worker,
mm-hmm.
and I can't emphasize honest, very honest, mm-hmm. very
okay.
honest and very sincere and very loving.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna now ask you. Based on what you've told me are the absolute essentials, okay, I'm going to read back what you said, and you tell me, do you believe that this man represents your non-negotiables? Number one, absolutely honest.
Oh, gosh.
Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Absolutely sincere.
No.
Absolutely loyal.
No.
Absolutely trustworthy.
No. Oh, boy. I'm in trouble.
Yeah, you are. Well, no, you're not because your eyes are opened. Okay, kind. Absolutely kind.
Well, he is kind.
Okay.
He is kind. He's
okay.
very kind and very generous.
Except for when he gets angry. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Another one is no anger out of control.
He's out of control.
Yeah. Okay. So that doesn't qualify. Okay. No. Prayerful.
He doesn't say his prayers.
Okay.
Doesn't say
so
prayers.
That's no. Yeah. So, and you said connected to the Lord, and then you said loving the Lord.
No.
Good family man?
I don't know about that. No,
well,
I would
did.
Say more no than yes.
Okay. And good Christian friends?
No, doesn't have any.
Hard worker?
I don't know if he is. He's retired.
Okay. Okay, so do you know that almost everything you mentioned was a no?
Yeah.
So he doesn't qualify for what you believe a human being that you would want to live the rest of your life with.
That's right. You're correct, Miss June. Correct.
I'm just going by what you said.
Yeah.
You have eliminated him. Now, he could have a changed life down the road, but you can't change him. But now, and the thing is, I'll tell you what could be helpful to him, if he would be willing to go for counseling to understand, why did he misrepresent the truth? Why would he literally, to hit things, if he's willing to literally face how he could have a changed life through Christ, because he could. That could make a difference for him, but it's not you saving him, it's the Lord. He has to allow the Lord to save him. I'm impressed with you, my friend. You hang on to hope.
We will send the keys for living called Dating, Great Relating When Dating, out to tonight's caller. We do that free of charge, and that's because of your generous support of this ministry. If you'd like to give to keep Hope in the Night on the air, just go to hopefortheheart.org, find the donate button there, and we thank you for doing that and supporting our ministry. You may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and our materials and recent programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our Facebook page. It is called Hope in the Night. And just go there, like the page, and share it with your friends. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope. The preceding program was pre-recorded.